About 3 years ago, Donnybrook gave a talk on black holes. And I would guess they had 350 people in that hall that has 300 seats. Bye-bye, Roy. Hey, KQRIW listening.
Well, Vic, the beauty of this is everyone's going to have a seat.
Every one of those photons coming out of that repeater are going to be sucked up by an antenna somewhere. Ain't that exciting?
Well, science is fun. What can I say?
Be there in 2MB.
And how's the world treating you, Barry? You've been going down south for a couple of times this year so far, haven't you?
Yes, speaking of scientists, yes, I have to go back in 3 weeks. I'm going back down south again because I can't get enough of my grandchildren. I think they're so fantastic.
They must have awful good genes, Barry.
Oh, yeah. I like to think that. I was thinking that on the way home. I now have two scientists in the family and a chef. And I'm soon to have another one, so I don't mean another kid. I mean another scientist. Oh, God, did I blow that one.
We know what you meant. Okay. I have children, but no grandchildren. You have children, grandchildren. What's the earliest way you might have a grandchild, a great-grandchild?
That's a few years off yet, I hope.
Understand. Okay. We're about to be cut off, so bye-bye for now.
Good night, everybody. And 2MB, Rocky Way Beach.
Good night, Dick. Gate to CX, clear.
The time is 12:04 a.m., 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater.
Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link clear.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system, node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
The WQVL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
KG2EXY listening.
Just waiting for you. And QEO, how are you, Andy?
Right, Rich, very good, thank you, very good. Hope you're doing well. Nice crisp morning. Wear the heavy coat and gloves. That's expected now. Anything exciting today? I'm on my way out to the target right now. Gonna stop in a little while for coffee.
Hi, Andy. I only get, well, I didn't have coffee. I gotta get it from upstairs. But, I did have a nice breakfast. I had waffles with syrup and sausage. You like sausage? I love it.
Love breakfast sausage. Especially that really tasty synthetic Jones sausage in the package. It's freeze-dried sausage.
Yes. It's exactly what I have. So anyway, I hope everything is good with you. And, I still haven't gotten my Christmas tree up. I don't know if I will live here. It's an artificial tree. Goes right up to the ceiling. Bought it last year at the Home Depot. It was gorgeous.
Throw some lights around the room. And make a little festive. Near that memorial, what is it? That memorial right here in Hop Hog. When I go near here, sometimes the stigma gets kind of scratchy. I wonder if there's...
Hello, you're doing fine this morning. Now, Vaughn was going to set the tree up. She's not in a very festive mood. I'm going to tell you, a next-door neighbor, who's a best friend also, 6-year-old boy died, and they did an autopsy. They don't know what happened. It's still a mystery. Her husband is in the service, and he's stationed in South Korea. They're sending him home.
That is terrible news. Terrible. Especially when you're away like that. Someone in the family dies. That's awful. I'm sorry if I cut out. All of a sudden my radio just died. That's the second time this morning. All of a sudden it turned itself off.
Alright, you know, sometimes if you ride up to the limit, the fuse can get intermittent. Check it. Also, the fuse holder.
Alright, I should check the connection, all the connections, but yeah, the fuse is a good idea. It's pretty cold in there. I'm wondering how the electronics on these machines can actually withstand the extremes of the winter and the summer. Because you sit in the car, it's 30 degrees, freezing. When you turn it on, the LCD display, you can see it's straining to light up because of the cold. And when it scrolls, when it's scanning through, the letters barely appear sometimes because it's so cold.
That's typical. The heat's on, so I assume the heat's on. It'll straighten out.
Well, heat's on in the car, but the machine, how can it stand such a cold weather constantly, day after day like this?
If you look in the specs, It'll tell you what temperatures, the low and the high. I'm sure you know where it's near the low. If you're in Alaska, it might be a problem, but not here.
Where did you say it would be a problem?
Alaska. Somewhere there would be a problem. Not here.
Price of gas just dropped. Dropped like 10, 15 cents. It's crazy. The Speedway is formerly Hess. Live it down to 234.
Okay. You know, when I was a kid, in the 50s, my father I went with my father when he would put gas in. It was 18 cents a gallon.
Well, that'd be nice. I remember when it was 35 cents going into Fayetteville in the summertime. Pulling over this pump with the dials that rotate. You can hear them every time they went around the dial. They made this noise when those the pulleys and the wheels and those dials kicked in. That was pretty interesting.
Yes, I remember that. All right. I hope nothing bad is new. You have anything new that's good?
Nah, nothing new. Spending more money this time of the year. I sent baskets and stuff to doctors at the end of the year. A little Christmas shopping. We're not going overboard. Just a couple of things. If we bring anything else in the house, we're not going to have any room to walk around.
All right, Andy. I'm waiting still for my money to come in. You know, it's supposed to be quite a bit of money, and more money on my reverse mortgage. You know, I've been waiting a long time. I'll get it, but you know, nobody hands you a large amount of money in one day. You know that. But, me and Patty are talking again. And I want to get her something. Maybe a gift card.
Well, you have to figure out what to do there. I know you said you've had trouble with her, but that's completely up to you. Of course. I'm going to be pulling over for some coffee in a moment here, Rich. All right, KG2ESY. I'll be back in a little while.
Okay, Andy, and who are you? I'll stand by.
KD2ESY has returned.
Oh, Andy. Andy, I have a question for you. I want to buy a gift card for clothing. Where would you recommend I buy the gift card for? What store?
Do you know her favorite clothing stores, and where does she live?
She lives with me in Massapequa Park. Last year I bought something, not only gift card, I bought her a sweater from Kohl's, but it didn't fit right, so she brought it back and got a shawl. But this time, when it teaches me, get a gift card, is this way she can get exactly what she wants.
Kohl's actually is one of the first places I would suggest if there's one near you. We have one right near us in our town. I love that place. It is a really, really nice, clean store. And, generally, you know, the people are people, but they're pretty nice. I just like the place. And when they have sales, you, can't beat it. They have like double and triple sales. We can walk out with a big bag of stuff for $100, but you have to get it at the right time. Unless you want to just give her one to the usual stores like Macy's, Lord & Taylor's. But I like Kohl's.
All right. I thought Macy's was having trouble. They were going out of business.
That's a cycle they go through. They've been doing that for years. Probably 20, 30 years.
And you don't think it's true?
If they're closed, then I'll know it's true. Other than that, yeah, I think it's a game they play.
All right. Who would ever look at selection? She usually likes to wear, that's a lady's shirt, I don't know what you call it. Your blouse, or whatever, and pants. She loves to wear ladies' pants.
But you'd be too dizzy.
You're not gonna stiff her, are you?
Hello, Steve.
Good morning. I must have doubled with Andy. I just wanted to see if Rich Page of KNC was about somewhere. If you've got a second for me to interject, then good morning, Andy.
Good morning, Steve. Go ahead.
K2KMB, WB2COC. You about? I will give a try on the telephone. Thanks. WB2COC.
Okay, Steve, no problem. And Andy, maybe I should get calls. Calls is not far away. Do they have a good lady selection?
I think they do. No, they have their own brand. And this way there's no question. I'm sure she'll appreciate that. Pick whatever she wants.
Yeah, well, that's my point. I'm not going to pick something out. She might not like it, or it might not fit. I'll give her a gift card. This way she can go and pick out what she likes.
B-A-T-B-A-X.
Andy, good morning. This is KD2ESY and this N2EO. Go ahead.
Good morning, Andy. Good morning, Rich. How are you guys doing today? I got a short little run today, so I won't stay on long, maybe about 5 or 10 minutes. But I just heard on the news there was a bomb in Port Authority. Do you guys hear anything about that yet? Was it intentional, or what's going on?
One word of caution. If you're not there and you don't see it live when it happened, question everything. There are a lot of false flags going on. And the police department's part of it. It may be a drill. Who knows? We've done drills. There are drills all over the place. And the news makes it look like there's a real problem. I don't know. I wasn't there.
I just caught a breaking news thing that they got one person in custody. Let me get back to this. I'm trying to hit a phone number. WB2ZSE.
Brother, well, my daughter's going in there today, and you know, tell her not to. I think at least she's not going until like 11, so we'll see what's going on first. WA2PIS.
Certainly makes sense to err on the side of caution. There's no question. It's just that with all these phony problems going on around the country, you know the underlying reason why this is being done. At least some of these false flags.
Not sure I know what you're talking about, Andy.
Sorry, what?
I don't know. I'm not sure I know what you're talking about with the false flag operation.
false flag is an incident that is made to look like a real problem, whether it's terrorism, whether somebody's shooting in a mall or a bomb goes off. Google false flag and you'll see a number of them, like Sandy Hook and a number of others.
Okay, we'll do.
You know, it sounds really strange, but the times we're in right now, can't rule it out. If I'm not there, I don't know. And you know that since all the major news networks are owned by the Fed, you don't know what's true and what's not.
Well, luckily she's going in there a little bit later, so maybe we'll be able to sort this out in the next hour or two.
Who
knows?
I don't know if they're going to close the airport down, or they're going to be huge delays or cancellations. But definitely err on the side of caution. So, I hope everything works out okay. I don't know if she works there, unless she can take a flight from a different airport, if that's what she's doing.
Now, this was at the Port Authority bus terminal near Times Square.
All right. Good luck with that. I hope that works out okay. Safety is principal.
Andy, did I tell you I got my money back? I'm at Turkey of a computer. And I saw a nice one. The same money, brand new, on Micro Center. I'm going to order it as soon as the money pulls back to my account.
I'm sorry, Rich. I'm not sure I understood that. You got your money back from your turkey, so you're buying a computer?
I remember that turkey of a computer, the used, the refurbished one from Staples. I got my money back. Fortunately, I found the bill of sale, had the original box. Staples took it back. When the money posts back to my account Thursday or Friday, I see that Micro Center has a brand new one with the same money, and I'm going to buy it.
Good, very good. Sounds like that'll work out okay. I picked up one not too long ago from Best Buy. I'm not thrilled with buying stuff there unless I know I can return it. Their return policy in the past used to be pretty bad. By a computer, Asus, A-S-U-S. They make some pretty good stuff. I understand Asus makes their own. A lot of other companies like HP, they import parts from all over. I don't know. But Asus generally has a very good reputation.
Oh, Peter. Asus? I doubled with you, Antonio.
Hello, Peter, WA2HMM. And your audio is still minuscule.
We don't have a Peter in here, so I don't know. Andy, what do you know about Samsung? This is the one I found. It's a modern machine. I think they're all pretty much alike. This one looks good.
I honestly don't know. But I know that, I don't know about Samsung. I didn't even know they made computers. I'm at the office, Rich, so I'm going to run. You have a good day.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
noise on my end.
RBP Mobile. RBP, anybody on frequency? Good morning.
Morning, Matt. KQ Tandy. Stand by, I have a landline. KQ Tandy.
Hey, good morning, Rich. How are you? Have a good weekend. I did. I was going to go to the Limewalk Holiday Party. I was really wanted to go to it on Wednesday night, but my wife wants to go to the Hanukkah party with the Chabad of Stony Brook where I go for service, and so I'm doing that instead. So I'm going to definitely, I'll make... On my antenna, I was just double checking. I was loose and I tightened it, so I checked it this morning or last night, so it should be all right. Back to you.
Hello,
Okay. Where are you located right now, Matt?
Okay, I'm actually on 25A, and I'm just right by the intersection of 111 South and Route 25 in Smithtown. I can see the Millennium Diner where I'm sitting, so that's where I'm at now.
All right, very good. Just trying to get an idea geographically. Yeah, the weekend was okay. I mean, not much done with the brief snowfall and whatever, and just trying to catch up on some work. 8:30. All right. I mean, that's about it. And that's about it. It's just funny. One of those days I don't have much to say this morning.
Roger, we had some nice little snow there. I went to the Crater of Aviation yesterday, late afternoon. They had a chocolate show. My wife wanted to go there. It was fun. Got samples of chocolate. They had place guys with some wine. I took a shot of bourbon I tried. There was a winery there that I bought a bottle of wine at Lake George last May, called Adirondack Winery. We like this strawberry, you know, wine. So they had a list of who was going to be there. So my wife, we made sure we bought another bottle of that. I got a bag of popcorn. I guess the guy was giving samples of beef jerky. So I got, like, barbecue beef jerky. It's really good. So that's what I did yesterday. It was great.
That's really nice. The Cradle of Aviation, when you go there for a regular visit, they should give you a discount as a Limewalk member, but not for the special events, because those are vendors, so it's not good for that. But, I'm not familiar with the Adirondack wines. We used to buy wine from Brotherhood Winery in Washingtonville. They used to have maybe a May wine, something like that. And there's some really excellent wineries out east also if you're into wine drinking. Yeah, but that's good. And, of course, the chocolate had to be great.
Samples, you know what I mean? I've lost quite a bit of weight, like 10 pounds or so, but it didn't really put a dent on it. It samples are probably equivalent to one chocolate bar, you know? So, yeah, I'm familiar with the area. You got an extra community there. You know, so it's right there, you know, the far from the Coliseum, and so forth. I did go to Cradle Museum last year. I just went there with my mom there. I wasn't a member, I think, of Limewalk at the time, but I want to go back there. I still saw some of the displays. You know, some of it was covered with the, with the vendors, but they kept that LL 707, the part of the plane. You walk up the steps, you see the cockpit, you know. I'm looking at it, and they got the pilot and the co-pilot, and a two seats. One of them must be the navigator. Years ago, they would have a radio operator right there. Did they have a Morse code key on these planes back then? I think they did.
Don't know, but they always had a HF capability when they do transatlantic. I think when they're close to land, they go to VHF, maybe UHF. But when they're over the ocean, they're on HF. That's why sometimes you'll work an airplane as it's flying. Let's say, well, it could be anything, but I followed one airplane that came in from Germany's Lufthansa, it was, and it came in over Canada, down the United States. I think I worked him when he was over Virginia, but then he continued on down to the Caribbean. So it's interesting stuff. But I think on transatlantics, there's always three in the cabin.
Station is on I worked the 727 cargo plane. The guy was on a ham band because they used Collins equipment, and they could go right, if the pilot happens to be a ham radio operator, the guy could go right down to the ham band, you know. It's pretty cool. I could do that. I have probes in my ICOM 706 Morph-2G. I got 118-something and 119 AM. That's the control tower at the Long Island, MacArthur, and Republic. So when I can, if I'm taking the LRE home, I'm coupling off at exit 62. I'll tune into it sometimes, and I hit a pilot, and I hit a control tower, give the pilot, you know, clearance to land, and I actually hit a plane coming right over me sometimes. It's pretty cool.
This is KGKB. If the pilot or co-pilot is going down into the ham bands, then they have to be a ham radio operator. Otherwise, there's aviation frequencies that they would be using. And then once they're landing, I'm pretty sure, well, obviously they're on VHF at that point, 118. I don't listen a lot, but it is fun to listen to, particularly if you can listen to, let's say, well, in your case, you're doing iSlip in Farmingdale, but I remember the first time I ever did it, I was listening to Kennedy, and you hear, you know, flight 830, take a 90 degree to 370, you know, whatever the case may be, very professional. And then you listen to Farmingdale, and it's Cessna 172, you see that jet below you, follow him in, you know. Crazy stuff.
Touch and go, like the process and taking off the landing. I hear that, you know. Yeah, I know, they have to be a ham, you know, to do that. There was a ham that, well, the guy, you probably know who he is. Hold on, I have to make this one. Hold on. I just come through this merge here. This guy wreaked havoc on all the races. He was on Limehawk, he was on Lockfield, he was on WHUMD, which is like a private club I belonged to years ago. And this guy, all the jammers followed him. And he died in a plane crash. He was like a cowboy in an airplane, and he felt he could take off with his students, and he continued to make it over the trees, and they got killed. Remember KTPKR, Don, who was KTPK, the Delightful King of Radio? The guy was a member of this club, and oh my God, he just wreaked havoc. Every club he became a member of. Back to you.
We're fading a little bit there, Matt. I know that there was someone a couple years back, actually, maybe two pilots even that were ham radio operators. I think one that might have been killed in Connecticut, and I don't remember the other one, so I don't know if that's the ones you're talking about. I think one of the guys was a Collins collector. Had a very large Collins collection of radios. Not sure.
Don, I mean, I had no problem when I talked to him, but they said he was a sociopath. That's what Norm told me. KQYEW, may rest in peace. He was a pilot instructor. He also worked for some radio station as a reporter. And he was in New Jersey taking off with some of his students. And I guess the student was piloting the plane. I guess it was like 72 or something like that. And the student thought he cleared up the trees. And he didn't. And that's it. And he got killed. And that was it.
Now, unfortunately, it seems like there's been a lot of small plane accidents this year. I don't know whether it's just the way it is or, you know, poor maintenance. Just crazy. Or maybe there's just more people flying. I don't know. Or maybe people are flying planes and they're not as well trained the same way that some people that are driving cars have no business driving cars, something like that. All right, Matt, I'm going to start. I want to listen to what's going on in the city. So we'll catch you later. And to RVP, KTK and me.
Cool, thanks.
830 WQVL repeater system.
82 AMZ.
WB2ROL, really out loud in the mobile, COMAC.
AD2KNH, mobile in Selden. Haven't heard you in a while. Good morning. Charlie here.
Hi, Charlie. Top of the morning to you. Well, the radio's been broke, actually. The weather isn't cooperating, and we decided we wanted to get this one fixed. I like it a lot, FT-350 dual band. I mailed it back to Yaesu. They couldn't fix it. They couldn't get the circuit board that they needed. The lances were messed up or melted or whatever. And I said, well, gee, why can't you just bridge it with wire? You know, they couldn't do it. So they sent it back, and all I got is the 2-meter saw. 2-meter works. Well, the UHF receiver works, but no transmitter. That's kind of a bummer because I got a UHF repeater. So I gotta ride around with this radio and an HT to get into my repeater.
Yeah, that sounds like a pain. Yeah, I guess like manufacturers like us, we with the copier world, we just replaced the boards.
And that's all anybody does for years now. There is no more technician, so to speak. I can remember the TV repairman. In fact, one guy's name was Jay. He was a ham for many years. He passed away, lived a long time, and he used to be a TV repairman, riding around with the station wagon with big boxes of tubes and changing the tubes and stuff. And they just don't change that. Like, if you took a circuit board, it's a $300 circuit board, and you can see the half-watt resistor blown in half, right? Just burnt up. Okay. Nobody replaces that. You can obviously see it. Nobody replaces that. They replace the $300 circuit board. And the reason is you're paying for it, so they don't care. So they put it in. Oh, there you go. Set to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, they don't want a hassle to go back if something else caused that, you know, resistor to blow. So they just, you know, figure they're not going to be a recall. They're not going to be responsible for it. It's a brand new part. And the parts, in a lot of cases, come down in price quite a bit. So it just didn't pay for us to get into that. In the old days, I would, you know, replace a triac or, you know, something of that nature, maybe a thermal fuse, but we didn't do a lot on the board.
Well, what a lot of ice just came off the roof of my car. Holy smokes.
Well, it is that time of year, and the fun season.
Boy, I'll say, I got new wipers on here, but boy, it don't look like it. I guess there must be a piece of ice stuck into the wiper blade itself. Pretty cold today, too. 34 degrees, my God. So a little on the nippy side. Although he said the next couple of days is going to be winter. In the 20s at night now. Although it's not too big, you know, when you get out of the car and you're just hanging out for a little bit, there's no wind. No wind at all. Look at the tops of the trees, and that makes all the difference in the world. You could just never dress for the wind. You could dress for the cold and the heat, but not the wind. You know, once that wind blows, man, you're cold. You put on more clothes, the wind stops you. You're sweating bullets, you take it off. So you just can't get dressed for it, you know?
Yeah, I agree. You know, I always remember this time of year because I used to have a lot of calls at Stony Brook University, and you'd have to park and walk across the campus in the blowing wind around the buildings. It would just be murder.
surprised they don't have a spot where the service trucks pull in and just, you know, service to get near the building. A lot of, especially in not so much small parts like what you're doing, but some like the air conditioning, heating, people, they carry a lot of bigger parts, you know, heavy stuff. So it'd be kind of unfair. You got to have a hand truck to move it across the parking lot to get to the building. I would think you'd have a like reserved parking for some of the trucks to get in close to the building.
Years ago, they did. I had a special service parking permit, and then some administrator decided whoever was in charge to get rid of all the special parking and make us all pay. And even over at the hospital side, I used to park under the loading dock where all the Sternwick vehicles are. Was it servicing the building, and it's like, now we can't park down there as well, so more inconvenient. Nothing I can do about it.
One thing I always say is I guess I grew up on Long Island, and I guess the people that live in the city, I had a couple of friends that live in it, they think nothing of paying to park. I mean, it's like give me $5, give me $10, it's going to cost you $12. I don't think a thing of it. That's just the way of life in New York, but, you know, growing up in Nassau, and then we retired, we moved out to Suffolk, I never paid to park anyways, and it just rubs me the wrong way. It's just really bad. It's like squeezing that last dollar out of you. Bad enough you got to pay to get into the place for a ticket or something, and now you got to pay to park your car. And some of the fees are really high to park the car.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's the boiled frog syndrome, KD2KNH. They train you to get used to these things, and you grow up with them, and you just keep paying them and without a thought. I live in Patchogue Village, and they just brought in, they're building it up, so along with that, they put all kinds of excessive parking fees everywhere.
You know, one of the sons lives in Patchogue. He was telling me how nice it's going to be when they're all done and what they're doing, but I did see a thing on the park. In fact, I think they had it in Newsday about Patchogue Village and putting up all the parking meters and stuff like that. And of course, that hurts a lot of the little stores. So, all right, you got to spot the park to run in. But at the same time, people don't want to go shopping and pay to park the shop. I go to the mall. I go someplace else where I don't have to pay to park, and especially Long Island. And then they lose business.
A lot of their parking is set up for nighttime parking only. Nobody's allowed to park, of course, in the late hours into the morning, but again, just another inconvenience, and what some people think is progress, other people think is not. As far as I'm concerned, you could have all the densely populated buildings and masses of people everywhere. I moved out to Patchogue because it was the last town before farm country 35 years ago.
Yeah, I grew up on Long Island. We were born and raised in Brooklyn, and then we moved out to Levittown. We could get a house for $7,990, and my dad, 1951, bought a Levitt Cape. Oh, I'm sorry, he bought the Levitt Ranch, and that was $9,990, and he lived there until, I guess, around 1968 or so. And even then, he didn't get a lot of money. He sold it, I think it was around $33,000 that he sold it for, and moved out to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Everybody retires and moves. I'm still here. We retired in 2003. Nice place to live, as long as you got enough money, you know. So when you don't have enough money and you're scratching to pay the grocery bill or something, then you realize, I got to move, you know. You talk to people in other parts of the country. Of course, being a ham, you get the opportunity to do that more so. Over here where I am, all the places are around $10,000 a year for property tax. I got one friend that pays $33,000. My dentist pays $22,000 property tax. Talk to anybody else in other parts of the country, they're paying about $2,000.
Exactly. And that's exactly why I never bought a house on Long Island. I would have had no quality of life. Without paying taxes, it allowed us to travel and do a lot of things we could have never done before. And you don't ever own your house when you live in a state like New York. You're renting it constantly. And I don't care what they tell you equity is. When you add up what you paid in taxes, what have you really made?
You got to keep it enough years. I mean, my daughter still lives in Levittown, and the property tax has gone up there, too. I'm trying to think what she's paying. I think she's paying about $12,000 a Levitt house. Of course, you got to, dormers and garage and patio and stuff. I think that's what she's paying. That's just a regular leather cape built up to pay that much money. And the houses are selling for, in the area there, around $350,000 to $400,000 for a $10,000 house. Of course, they built it a long time ago. Leather built 17,500 homes.
Yes, they did build a lot. They were on slabs for the most part, and they weren't the best quality construction, but they were good homes. My father was a custom builder, and he built a lot of those, like, $999 specials, you know, $9,999, for many years.
Well, they held up all these years, really. I mean, they got a lot of going for it. They probably, they used 3A copper tubing in the, great, I love the heat in the floor, but it was 3A copper tubing. And just like a person, it gets arteriosclerosis and it starts to plug up the circulation. In other words, the diameter is too small, 3/8. If they would have used half inch in the slab, the things would still be working today. But most of them have died because they got plugged up with corrosion inside. I guess the chemicals that are in the water, and people had to switch over to baseboard heat. Then, of course, if you had a leak, you had to chop up the floor. I remember I had a leak. What a job, my God.